Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom, then, will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is the one and only Lord and Savior of all of mankind, dear fellow redeemed, one of the reasons we come to God's house on a Sunday morning is to be strengthened. To receive strength from God to face all the problems, troubles, trials, and tribulations and temptations of life. Some of these trials and troubles come upon us because we live in a sinful world. Some of these trials and troubles we bring upon ourselves because of our own sins. And so on this Sunday morning we have 40, 50 people here sitting at Jesus' feet, laying their sins, their troubles, their sorrows, their cares, their worries, their sufferings, their burdens before the Lord. Some of you may be suffering some illnesses, either short-term or long-term, and it bothers you. Others of you may be having marital problems or child-parent relationship problems. Others may be having problems with fellow workers or classmates or teachers. Others of you may be in kind of an emotional rut. Maybe it's the same old thing every day, and you feel like you're sinking into a depression. Others of us may feel the pressure of our job. We got to succeed. We got to do better because we're being watched and the pressures are mounting. Others of us may be feeling the pressures of our own sin, the sin of our pride, the sin of materialism, which is creeping into more and more of our thoughts, our lives, our actions. Others of us may be feeling for our loved ones because they're aging. Maybe they moved away or they're gone. The number of problems and trials and troubles and temptations are as varied and as many as there are people here this morning. But the important thing of all of it is that our God knows every single one of them. He knows our problems. He knows our troubles. He knows our needs. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust and ashes. He knows that we are weak. He knows all that. And he alone knows, because who is like the Lord? Our text is in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40 begins the second half of this marvelous book. The second half is a book of comfort that God gives to his people. The first 39 chapters talks about mainly his punishment upon the people of Israel because they forsook him. The doom and gloom is going to come upon children of Israel. Even though they forsook him, though, Isaiah says, the Lord Jehovah will never forsake you. He is true to you every day, faithful every day. And this won't be the last trial, the last crisis that comes upon Israel. What's the lesson they should learn? This lesson. Who is like the Lord? Can there be anyone like Jehovah? Anyone equal in strength, in power, in wisdom, and in might? All the verses of our first two scripture readings this morning talked about how God excels over anything and any power in this world. Excels over creation because he created the world. Excels over the powers of the most mighty and powerful of this earth. No one and nothing can be compared to God or be even equal in any way before our powerful triune God of our salvation. For the faithful few in Israel, and for the faithful few left on this earth, that is a great comfort. Who is like the Lord? In our text, the Lord, the prophet, draws for us a picture of three things that God does that's beyond his equal, that he alone can do. And the first is this: he alone controls heavenly bodies. We read verses 25 and 26. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Lord, the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created all these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. What a marvelous spectacle Isaiah through the Lord is drawing here for us. Tonight, if the clouds leave, look up in the sky. See the stars, and see the planets, and see the moon up there. Who put them there? God did. Who controls their traversing across the universe? God does. The uncountable number of heavenly bodies, the vast expanse of the universe that we don't even know where it ends, is beyond boggling our mind. And yet, God created it all. He knows where it begins. He knows where it ends. He knows how many heavenly bodies there are. But in this picture, the Lord is drawing for us a picture of his care and concern. For the words there, he brings out the host, is a Hebrew word that pictures the shepherd bringing out his sheep from his sheep pen. He's leading them out into the pasture land, one by one, in order, as they follow him, safely guided and cared for by the Good Shepherd. And so as you watch the sun dip behind the horizon, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars starting to come out. God's bringing them forth. As it gets darker, you see more and more skies until the whole night sky is pictured with all the beautiful twinkling stars and the moon. God's bringing them out to glorify him and to cause us to stand in awe. Who is like the Lord? God knows how many planets and stars there are. But even beyond that, he knows how many hairs are on the heads of every single one of us. There's always seem that way? If we're honest with ourselves, we'd say, no, it doesn't. There are times we think, God's turned his back on me. Where is God when I'm going through all these problems? Why is he more concerned about the sun, moon, and stars than about my own needs? That's what Israel felt. And that's why he said to the Israelites, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? With such a God as the Lord Jehovah, can we in any way have any misgivings as to how our God will rule our lives and always do it for our eternal welfare? But how often haven't we too complained and said, my way is hidden from the Lord? In other words, God must not be aware of what's happening in my life, because if he was aware of what's happening, he would have done something by now. How often have we whined these words, my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, as a child of God, it doesn't seem that following the Lord helps at all. There are unbelievers I know that are more prosperous than me, have less problems than I do. God must not care at all. So instead of confronting our problems with God's help, sometimes we blame God for our problems and become bitter towards Him. So God has to ask, why do you feel these things? Why do you speak this way? Why do you have these feelings, O Jacob, O Israel, O Pastor Bernthal, O members of Peace Through Christ? Why? Multitude of reasons. The smallness and weakness of our faith. We don't always take God at His word. Because our own vainglory, our own pride, thinking we need to get ourselves out of our own problems. Because we're not thinking things through in faith. Because we doubt God's love and question His concern for us at times. Because we're not implicitly trusting God the way we should. Ultimately, the reason is because of our sin. And so God tells us, who is like me? Second point, He neither faints nor is weary. Read verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. How often do we have to be told? How long will it be before we finally get into our head, into our heart, that God is eternal? The Lord God created the heavens and the earth. He is the only one who can handle every problem and will take care of the problems in our life. He neither faints nor grows weary of all that He does. No one can fathom His understanding of all things. Have we heard that before? Of course we have. We've heard it over and over and over again. We've heard our God promise to us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, do not be afraid. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus, our good shepherd, has promised us a multitude of times. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. How often hasn't our loving Savior promised us these words? I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How often has He promised us? How much clearer can He make it in His word? It is still beyond our understanding. We cannot understand, we cannot comprehend, we cannot accept it without faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who's like the Lord? And our God finally tells us that not only is He our strength, He gives us strength to those who wait on Him. We read in the last verses of our text, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the weakness of our sinful state, the Lord strengthens us through His powerful word. In the weariness of the load of our sins, the Lord lifts that burden by announcing to us forgiveness of all of our sins through His suffering and death upon the cross. The Lord said to the Apostle Paul, who was weakened by his thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," in your weakness. To all of us who are nothing without our God, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And Paul summarizes this third point in 2 Corinthians 3 when he writes, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." This past month we saw in the Olympics some amazing feats of strength, power, and skill. And yet, some of those young men failed. Young men and women at the Olympics who trained for years and years and years, some utterly failed and faltered. And they were all amazed after all that training. God never fails. God never falters. And to whom is this promise given? He says, to all those who wait on the Lord. Does this mean that we need to patiently wait for the Lord to accomplish His will in our lives? Well, that's part of it. But the word here, wait, means to trust unswervingly, to expect something to happen, to await. The one who waits on the Lord is the one who says, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins." And then he expectantly waits for the Lord to do that because he knows it's going to happen. The one who waits on the Lord is the Christian woman who says, "I have no righteousness of my own. I have no goodness of my own. But I know that Jesus will give me His righteousness." The one who waits on the Lord is the one who realizes that not only did Jesus die for us and Him and give us forgiveness, we now can live for Him and are given the power to say no to our sinful flesh. No to the temptations that come our way. Finally, the Lord promises we'll be renewed. The word there means revived, gaining new strength to make it through. And that's an amazing thing. Christians don't just barely make it through day by day. Christians don't just barely make it through the troubles and trials and problems and temptations and then have to do it all over again tomorrow. The Lord says we soar over those problems like having wings like eagles. Have you been soaring over your problems? Have you been soaring like an eagle floating on the wind, high above your trials, your troubles, your tribulations, your temptations? Or have you been just struggling to barely get through them? David cried out, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Knowing that Jesus loves me, knowing that He died for me, and forgives me of all my sins of doubt and worry, and every other sin that I've committed, knowing that because of His death and resurrection, He has assured me not only to be able to soar over all my problems, but an assurance of an everlasting life and home in heaven, gives to me the joy and the confidence and the loving obedience that will be able to soar over any problem or trouble or trial or difficulty we may ever face. That's our assurance. Because who is like the Lord? Ultimately, the final victory is ours. For the Lord who created all the heavenly bodies, the Lord who gives us strength to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint, the Lord who sees us through this life to the very end, which then is the beginning of life forevermore. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.